Welcome to another edition of the Sure Word Ministries radio broadcast with Donna Kaczynski. Donna is always glad to hear from her listeners. Our email address is swmradio@yahoo.com, or you may write Sure Word Ministries at Post Office Box 383, Litchfield, Illinois, 62056, USA. Now here's Donna.
I'm so thankful you tuned in to the program today. Our topic of discussion today is entitled Contemplative Prayer, To Do or Not to Do? That is the question. As some of you already know, mysticism has made a huge sweep into the body of Christ. And as a result of this, Christians are getting caught up into all kinds of mystical practices. One such practice is contemplative prayer, which sounds great. It sounds scriptural. It sounds real nice, doesn't it? But it is, in fact, a very dangerous practice. Contemplative prayer basically originated from Catholic monks centuries ago as they experimented with new ways to commune with God. And as a result of their experimentation, they basically created a mystical practice called contemplative prayer, which is really nothing more than an Eastern religious occultic type practice. You know, there's many precious, true, born-again, spirit-filled Christians who are involved in contemplative prayer and other mystical practices because those who teach these mystical practices use scripture verses to back up their teachings. And if Christians are just accepting what these teachers are ministering to them without checking into the Word of God for themselves, herein lies the deception. Because the scripture verses that the contemplatives use to support their contemplative prayer teaching does not support their teaching. They've twisted the Word of God to say something other than what it really says, and this is called deception. Now, I want to begin today by defining the word mysticism. It is the pursuit of communion with, identity with, or conscious awareness of an ultimate reality, divinity, spiritual truth, or God through direct experience, intuition, instinct, or insight. Mysticism usually centers on a practice or practices intended to nurture those experiences or awareness. Now, the key word in this whole definition is experience. The so-called new spirituality or the so-called new redefined Christianity movement that's going on today all over the world is into seeking after experiences. And this means that they are the ones instigating these experiences by different methods or techniques that mystics have created, and they call these spiritual disciplines. Now, since most of these practices do not originate with God or the Bible, many who practice these techniques are tapping into the demonic realm, and their lives are becoming fragmented, and they're being led astray. The Bible tells us to seek the Lord. It never tells us to seek after experiences. So this should be the first red flag that we should notice about this whole contemplative prayer issue. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Psalm 10:4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." There's a man by the name of Brennan Manning who says that in order to do this contemplative prayer practice, you need to stop thinking about God so that you can tap into God. Now, how stupid is that? Psalm 10:4 said, God is not in all his thoughts. In contemplative prayer, the goal is to stop thinking, to blank out your mind, or we could say empty your mind of all thoughts and enter into the silence where they say God dwells. And in order to do this, a person must repeat a word or a word phrase over and over and over again until they are able to blank out their mind, enter into the silence, which is basically an altered state of consciousness. Now, this contemplative prayer technique is no different than what the Hindus, Buddhists, New Agers, and Islamic Sufis do in their meditative practices. And when they do this, they're not tapping into the one true living God. They're tapping into the demonic realm. So why would we think that it's okay for us to do a practice such as this and not get ourselves into spiritual trouble? What we've done is this. We've taken all these mystical practices that the mystics do, yogis, Hindus, Buddhists, Sufis, all these things that they do to tap into that demonic realm, and we've put a Christian label on these practices now. Instead of calling our new church class a yoga and Eastern meditation class, we call it Christian yoga or yoga for Jesus, or we're now Christian mystics. We add the word Christian to it. But dear friend, this is so deceptive. Just like the name, contemplative prayer, sounds wonderful. It's got the word prayer in it. And the enemy of our souls is so good at deceiving people into believing his lies. He is a deceiver. That's what he does, and that's how he's going to lead so many people astray. Contemplative prayer is a mystical practice. It's also known as centering prayer, listening prayer, or breath prayer. It goes beyond thought and words, leading to an altered state of consciousness, which is supposed to provide an experiential union with God or nature. Again, the key word in this whole definition is experience. And what we need to understand is that experience-oriented people are those who are led by their feelings. They want to have an experience that makes them feel good. They want to feel physical sensations in their body. They want to feel God. And there's nothing wrong with feeling God's presence or having an experience with Jesus Christ, because when we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to experience Him. The problem arises when we are seeking after experiences instead of seeking Jesus. When we are seeking experiences, we are instigating those experiences. We are the ones trying to make something happen, spiritually speaking, and this is where the danger comes in. You know, when I study the Word of God, I read of how the people in the Bible experienced wonderful encounters with the Lord, but they didn't instigate those experiences. They were not seeking after experiences. God was the instigator, not the people. Now, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and departed to go to the land of Canaan." Verse 7. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give you this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." Now, the Bible says in verse 7 that the Lord appeared to Abram. My questions to you are these. Did Abram instigate this encounter with the Lord? Was he doing contemplative prayer here? Was he blanking out his mind and entering into the silence within so that God would appear to him and he could experience the Lord? No, he was on a journey just obeying God, and the Lord appeared to him. Without Abraham seeking any kind of an experience, the Lord visited him of his own accord. The Lord instigated this whole encounter. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Now, in these particular set of verses, did Moses seek this experience with God? Did Moses do contemplative prayer here? Did he chant a mantra over and over and over to blank out his mind and enter into the silence to have an encounter with God? No, the angel of the Lord just appeared to him. Moses did not instigate this encounter. He was just minding his own business, tending sheep. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And verse 6 tells us that Moses experienced the holiness of God in this encounter, and the fear of the Lord came upon him. Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. Wow, that's a lot different than what we're hearing from a lot of people today who say the Lord appeared to them, and the angel of the Lord came down and had coffee with them. And, you know, many of these people who have these so-called encounters with God talk about it in such a way that reeks with familiarity and not the fear of the Lord. So I question those who have these kind of encounters, because whenever I see the Lord appear to someone in the scriptures, the reverential fear of the Lord came upon these people. And many times these people would fall to the ground as they sensed the holy presence of God in their midst. The manifest presence of a holy God caused them to fall down before him, caused them to respect and revere him. They didn't talk to him with a fleshly familiarity, as if he was their buddy, as if he was their chump. Many times they were left speechless in the presence of a holy God. That's what we need today. Not because we're seeking an experience, but when we seek the one true living God, we're going to experience him. And it won't be in a way that's on our level, because when he comes to visit us, we're going to know that it's God. Woo, hallelujah. Not some demonic manifestation from the pit of hell. We'll know, and believe me, we will bow down and worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Many who say they're having heavenly encounters are in fact having encounters with demons, not God. That's why they act in such a familiar way with that demon, because demons aren't holy and they don't carry the weight of the presence of a holy God. In Exodus chapter 3, we don't hear Moses saying, "Hey, dude, what's happening?" No, he didn't treat the angel of the Lord as a familiar thing with no respect and no fear of God. When the true Lord shows up, you're not going to be acting stupid and disrespectful in his presence. It's just not going to happen that way. If it does happen that way, you've not encountered the King of Glory. You've encountered something demonic. We need to be a people who seek the Lord, and we need to be a people who are led by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We must not be a people who are looking for some type of make me feel good Christianity. You know, the martyrs of old were not led by feelings. They were not into seeking after experiences. They sought the Lord God Almighty, and they loved him so much that they were willing to give their lives for what and who they believed in. They believed the scriptures, and their lives portrayed the scriptures in action. You know, there are true Christians all around the world who are being persecuted for their true faith in Jesus Christ. These are people who do not live out of the soul realm. They don't go by what they feel, and they don't seek after experiences. These are people who still believe in the power of the preaching of the cross. These are people who still believe in the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Savior. They believe that the Word of God is truth, and even though they are being persecuted, beaten, and martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ, they know what it means to be free, and they know what it means to have the peace that passes all understanding. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you that you are God and there is no other. I ask you to make yourself real to my listeners. I ask you to deliver them from deception and every evil work of the enemy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray you've enjoyed the broadcast today. May the Lord bless you, cause you to be a blessing. May he transform you from the inside out and cause your life to be a life worth living. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to another Sure Word Ministries radio broadcast with Donna Kaczynski. To learn more about Sure Word Ministries, visit our website at surewordministries.net. You may email Donna at swmradio@yahoo.com or write her at Sure Word Ministries, Post Office Box 383, Litchfield, Illinois, 62056, USA. Join us again at this same time for another edition of the Sure Word Ministries radio broadcast with Donna Kaczynski.